Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the third of the seventh month, 2025. It is a Thursday evening and we are at it again. We are here to pull heartstrings and that is exactly what we are going to do. So, today we're talking to the people that want to just go off the grid. Want to go off the grid and just want to not need anybody again and not need anybody's resources again and not need nothing from nobody, but they must figure out a way to be self-sustainable, right? So tonight we're talking about self-sustainability. How are you going to do it? And the perks, the pros and the cons, and we are going to dive into it. But before that, ladies and gentlemen.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili meholamo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitiramo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I was thinking the other day, my plan is to just one day, just go off the grid. Hopefully, okay, I'm not going to leave the kids. I didn't think about the kids. To be honest, I didn't think about the kids, but I was thinking, like, if I just want to go off the grid, what do I need to go off the grid? Obviously, you leave the laptop, you leave the cell phones. Okay. You leave them and hope that the people that are left behind, right, are going to be fine, man. They are going to be fine, because what if you were dead? They would be fine, right? So I was thinking, okay, so, but what would I need? Okay, I would need survival skills. I would need a place where I'm going. I will need shelter most, and then I will need water, and then I can most just do those survivor things. I'm telling you, adulting is so rough and so tough around the edges that it will make a grown-up think of just going off the grid. Guys, and I was laying there and I was like, okay, but what will I need? Like, how will I survive? Hey, what will I do for food? And I was like, okay, so with food, maybe I can grow my own food and I can just go first with a little bit of food that is enough for maybe 6 months, because I'm planning most now on going off the grid for like a year, a year of just me alone in the wilderness, you know, just catching up with my spirituality. And just doing those meditation things and those yoga things and not watching TV and reading books and maybe just being less stressed and those things, right? Cause I'm planning most now, which are, this is going to be a chapter that I'll take in my life, because we are planning our lives, right? We're planning our lives. We're planning the things that we want to do. Want to retire at 35. And then when we retire at 35, everything must be self-sufficient. Everything must be in alignment, and all they'll probably have to be doing is just making sure that the banking system is going well and things are paid on time and life just continues while I'm just staying in Hallelujah, you know, just enjoying myself. I'm not necessarily going to be traveling or seeing the world or whatever. I just want to go to a place that is quiet, that my mind can just focus and think. I just want to go and think for a year. I just want to come up with nice business ideas in that year. I just want to go and calm my spirit and tell myself that, oh, you did a good job, pat on the back, which, oh, you did a good job, you have been a good person, and, you know, you made an impact there by radio, you know, you came through for the people came through for you. And I just want to go and give myself oka motivation, akachanga almost, but then, how am I going to survive out there? That is my question. So today we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about you that wants to go off the grid. You want to go off the grid. You're thinking about wanting to go off the grid, right? Maybe you are a multimillionaire and you are like, oh, I'm just tired of my phone ringing the whole time. I'm just tired of every day's meetings. I'm just tired of whatever I do there. I just want to go off the grid. I just want to go and rest, even if it's just for a couple of months. And you know, when we say months, we think it's so long until we realize that we've been living as long as we've been living and nothing happened to us. We saw the months as something and then now it's years and then it's even decades. You know, I never pictured myself to be one of those people that says, oh no, that was 20 years ago. Like, but I'm there. Oh no, 15 years ago. No, over a decade ago. I'm there, guys. And I'm thinking like, yo, but then what is the plan? Part of the plan is must now to just go and live on a farm somewhere. And then after a year, I'm consigliere. So the mafias can come to me and then it's like, okay, so there's this little trouble here. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't want the mafia guys. I don't want clients like that. I want honest clients. I want clients that I can stand up out of my very comfortable place and come to court and come and defend you. Or I want to go to psychiatric evaluations and stuff like that. You know, I have plans. The number in studio is 083-288-401. Let me know if you have ever been thinking about the same thing. If you have ever been thinking about, you know, I just want to leave everything behind and just go. I think we had one caller. I forgot his name. I think we have one caller that really just packed up his whole entire life and just went home. Like, and when I say home, it's a person that is leaving everything that makes life comfortable to just go and start over. Like leaving clothes, leaving laptops, leaving bags. Then he just goes to the north and says, "Kucha, guys, no. Yeah. I'm just here to rest for a little while and it is what it is." So, if you've been thinking about being self-sufficient, right? How do we as individuals become self-sufficient? One, or let's say the underlining things that we need to focus on if we are embarking on this journey of self-sufficiency, right, is focus on developing practical skills and reducing reliance on external systems. Now, what are external systems? Maybe external systems are cell phones, or, you know, you are depending on the butchery to give you the meat. You are depending on fish roll to give you the fish, or you are depending, you know, when you're just dependent, you're dependent on, Kandali's chickens to give you the chicken and so forth. But let's just.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build?
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot the quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Alrighty. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a self-sufficient. How are we going to become self-sufficient in a world that screams for us to be dependent? How are we going to break away from dependency or codependency and just become self-sufficient? This is for somebody that wants to go off the grid, or this is for somebody that just wants to start being self-sufficient. So it's for both of us. It depends. That means you can survive everywhere. If you're self-sufficient, you can survive everywhere. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That's the number in studio. And you can call back, dear caller. All right. Number one, grow your own food. Start small. Even a small herb garden or a few potted vegetables can take you places. So start growing your own food. Now we walk past the seeds in the shops, and I don't think we pay attention to the seeds in the shops. But if we look at most vegetables, right? They all have seeds, and we can experiment. Even if it's just small, you know, we can experiment, and then we can start having our own herbs, like our own spices, basically, because spices are just herbs also. So you can start there. So start small, put it in a few pots, and see where it will get you. See how the compass is doing, and see if you need to change something, see which seasons, and we don't really read what's behind the packet, because most packets are written if it's winter friendly vegetables, or if it's summer friendly vegetables, autumn or spring. They do give us the seasons. So start with growing your own food. Even if you are starting small, start with growing your own food. And then number two under number one. So it's 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1.2. Yeah, 1.2. Learn to compost. Composting reduces waste and creates a nutrient-rich soil for your garden. I think Tata Jesai is out there like, yeah, this is what they should be teaching, because, hey, it's very important, gardening. So composting is basically making your own fertilizer. So with the food that you eat, as long as something breaks down, right, in terms of food-wise, as long as it's not plastic, most things can be put into the soil and they will decompose. So when you put products such as eggshells, banana peels, pasta, carrot shreddings, even bones, even meat, even anything that is used to be alive and then it dies and then it decomposes, right? You can put inside your soil, and then you can just see which one works better. I wouldn't advise that you just dump everything, because if you're starting like a small garden, you want to see which one is more effective, and which one is producing better greens, you know, or better vegetables, or better vegetables, because we are not here to plant flowers. Ashore.
Good evening.
Good evening, the matriarch.
Good evening, love of the nation. How are you?
I very well, thank you. How is the evening over there?
The evening is wonderful. It's fantastic. It's splendid.
I am very pleased to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you gonna have for us to this evening.
Today we are talking about a self-sufficient. How does one become self-sufficient? So then the first one is growing our own food, right? So we are talking about growing our own food now, which are okay. So this is how we do it. And because if it's not all of us that plan on staying in the city for forever. But then many of us don't actually know how to go and survive in a village or in a small town or in the mountains or wherever we intend to go and find peace when time comes, right? Many of us don't know how to actually go and survive there. Many of us don't even know how to plant a simple plant. Even spinach, you know? So, so I'm talking about that. I'm talking about what we must do. If ever we want to become self-sufficient, right? We should at least focus on these few elements so that we can at least secure the food. Because as long as we have food wherever we are, then I think we're going to be okay because shelter and clothing and everything else is something that you can find. But once your food supply is gone and your water supply is gone, then it makes it a bit difficult for you to be out there.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
When you are talking about self-sufficient, do you mean for the country? Do you mean for the people in general?
It can be for anybody. It can be for the country, you can take it from the perspective of the country, or you can take it from the perspective of individuals.
All
of your opinions matter.
All right. Self-sufficient. It means you have gave a good example of food. There is no way even a country, even people to be called self-sufficient if there is no production of your own food. Food is our basic necessities. There is no way to live on earth without food. You need to have food so that you can eat. You have energy to do other work and you can be able to grow. Yes. You cannot talk about self-sufficient first if you did not include food, the production of food. If you are unable to produce food, there is no way you can call yourself a self-sufficient. Yes. And self-sufficient, it is not only about food, but it depends on different methods which you can able to supply on your own.
Okay.
But not everything, because there is no one, even America, even UK, the developed country, they cannot able to cater everything for themselves.
Yeah.
But as long as you are able to produce something or come up with something, we can be able to sustain some of your needs, it can be regarded as self-sufficient. Yes.
Does that now mean that the things that we need from other people, they shouldn't be a necessity per se? It should be something that we want, but it shouldn't be something that we need if we are going to call ourselves self-sufficient.
It is also a necessity.
Okay. Like, what is a necessity from other people if we are to go off the grid and be self-sufficient?
All right. The production of clothing.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Or attires.
Mm.
Maybe someone can able to produce food,
mm-hmm.
to supply food on his or her own, mm-hmm. but he or she cannot able to supply his or her own clothing, cannot able to produce clothing.
Mm.
He or she have to
source the clothing from somewhere else.
Clothing from someone else.
Okay.
Yes.
But wouldn't that be a small expense if we eliminate the one of food production?
If we eliminate
food production, right, and we no longer need food from anyone, and the only thing that we most probably need is everything else, or like clothing only, isn't clothing cheaper than food, in your opinion?
There is no way to eliminate the production of food.
Mm.
Food is our basic.
Yeah.
Necessity.
Yeah.
We cannot, if we keep on just buying food,
yeah.
without producing it,
mm.
it will be a big gap,
mm.
for us to reach our expectation.
Mm.
What about from the one who you always aim to buy? What about if that person minimize the production of such foods?
Mm-hmm.
Then he can tell you that I only having this small amount of percentage,
mm-hmm.
is the production of my own food,
mm-hmm.
I cannot able to sell, mm-hmm. other food,
mm-hmm.
to someone.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be better to just be taught how to do it?
It is better to be taught on how to produce.
Yeah, wouldn't it be better to just be taught how to produce food, and then we eventually eliminate the seller?
But
because if we are sourcing clothing, for example, if we are sourcing clothing, mm-hmm. then wouldn't it be a better initiative for us to learn how to manufacture our own clothing, so that we don't need to keep buying clothing from this person A?
Great indeed.
Mm.
We can able to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Now you take me to the point which I always wish to raise, but I did not get an opportunity to raise it.
Today's your day, my friend.
As if we empower the system of our barter trading, then we can talk about self-sufficiency.
Elaborate.
All right.
Go deeper, Papa.
Barter trading.
Okay.
Have you noticed that we Africans, we are highly blessed when it comes on natural resources.
Yes.
We have got diamonds.
Mm.
We have got animals.
Mm-hmm.
We have got even the forest itself.
Yeah. And the
we water. Have got the, we have got the productive land.
Mm-hmm.
What about if we turn it into a barter trading, like, for example, India.
Mm-hmm.
India, you are highly developed when it comes on the production of cheddars.
Mm-hmm.
What about if I gave you just five people from my country so that you can train them about how can people have to work with the production of cattle. Then we
but
can.
But isn't the production of cattle in India because of their religious beliefs also?
An example.
No. I know it's an example, but wouldn't isn't it a thought that maybe they have a high production because they don't really consider cow meat as something that is sustainable for them because it is viewed as gods, if I'm not mistaken?
They consider it, but I'm talking about the empowerment of barter trading.
Yeah.
Okay, you train my people on the production of cattle.
Tired of being stuck in queues or left on hold? Our online sign-up lets you get the connection you need in just a few minutes. Simply head to paratus.africa/Namibia and press the online sign-up button. Then choose from our exciting ranges of fiber, Sky-Fi or mobile LTE products. Fill in the application form and you're already done. Of course, you'll also enjoy free installation on your new package. Sign up online today to enjoy effortless connectivity.
All right. Good evening.
Hello. Hello. Sorry, I didn't see the ad coming in. It just caught me by surprise. You were saying?
I'm just standing by.
Okay. Wonderful.
I'm just here. Uh-huh. I'm just here.
Uh huh.
All right.
Okay.
I was about the example of India.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's good thing that. Production of cattle. It is just an example.
No problem.
Okay, India, I want to give you my five people from my country.
Mm-hmm.
You train them on how to produce cattle or how to work with cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then, me, as Namibia,
yeah.
I don't have money in cash.
Yeah.
But I only have springboks. What about if I give you this amount of springbok, then you train my people? That is barter trading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another example.
So it's knowledge for something.
Yes.
In this case, what we are battering is you give us knowledge, we give you springboks because also we have cattle, but
yes, while we don't have such amount of money to give you, but we only have this.
Okay.
Okay. Another example. Cuba. Cuba, you are better. When it come on, you have medicine professional.
Okay, medical professions.
Medical profession.
Mm.
Can you come in my country? build us with an factory of medicine production.
Mm-hmm.
You train our people.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I have got an hippopotamus. Cuba, do you have hippopotamus in your country? It's an example.
It's a good example. It's a good example. It's a good example. I'm getting the drift here because, I mean, Cubans don't have hippopotamus, man. Do they?
Okay.
They have hippopotamus in Cuba?
Then you reach an agreement. Okay, you can come. You can come, build us a medicine factory.
Yeah.
You train our people.
Yeah.
They become a well healthy professional.
Uh-huh.
We can begin to manufacture our own medicines.
Uh-huh.
Then we have to give you this and this. Like that, we can become self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot jump from heaven, then you already become a self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a process.
China,
yeah.
You are very good.
But will they, let's go back to Cuba. Would they really want to teach us something so valuable globally, right? Where we might even have the potential to become their opponents within the industry, the medicine development industry. Would they really want to trade such a big entity for hippopotamuses?
The metric.
Yeah. A hippopotamus, right. A big deal in Cuba. Maybe, you know, when you get to China, ne?
Mm-hmm.
The example must be rhinos.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, because the horn is medicine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so proceed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is important?
Mm.
The way you speak to a person.
Yeah.
When a person understand you.
Yeah.
You can able to reach an agreement.
Mm.
The problem, maybe we used to fear other people, or maybe we don't know how to discuss with others.
Yeah.
Instead of just, some of the people used to hide their real identity.
Okay.
Thus, when you come in my house.
Yeah.
I have got no chair.
Okay.
Then I only used to sit on this stick.
Uh-huh.
Traditional chair of
the log.
From
the log.
The log. Mm-hmm. Okay, the log.
Mm-hmm.
When you enter my house,
yeah.
I go borrow some of the chairs.
Okay.
I give to you. Now, how do you going to know that love of the nation is on need of the chief? Instead of just give you the chance to sit,
yeah,
on the lungs, so that you are going to realize that yes, love
lungs
of the
are
nation.
Also they are also
love of the nation is on need of this man. When I come to discuss you about something, you know already
about Liverpool.
Yeah,
yeah, you are coming to discuss with me about Liverpool. Yeah.
Yes, you know already my identity. You know already my identity. The issue we use only to standardize.
Standardize
yourself instead of show a person your real identity. Then a person can be able even to be compassionate with you and feel like I have to lend an assistance.
But what about the people that mock
because
others?
If you demonstrate to me that if you are off my level, I will be, you will discourage me to yes
to get higher what?
Yes, to some of the people.
Okay.
Yeah. Give the person your real identity.
Okay. Be yourself. So show your true colors the same way I'm showing my true colors on Facebook Live. Mm.
Yes.
Very so quiet lady.
So that a person can realize that this is on need of this. Whenever he or she asks me to lend an assistance, I will assist with my whole heart because I know that a person is seriously on need.
Mm-hmm.
Not only ask me to help for their sake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or maybe I just going to help these people, even he or she able to cater such a need while there is other people I leave them behind, but they are seriously on need.
Okay.
Yes.
And that is how we become self-sufficient as a country.
Yes.
Okay, so how would you become self-sufficient as a human being? What if hypothetically one day a gang of bandits come and kidnap you and then they drop you in the middle of nowhere? What would you need in order for you to survive?
What I need in order to survive.
Yeah.
Is free of my heart and free of my mind.
You need freedom of your heart and freedom of your mind in order for you to survive.
Yes, if they keep me at such a place.
No, they just dropped you. They just pick you up from your house. And then they just go and drop you in the jungle in Amazon there.
I need to find ways on how to free my mind and free my heart.
What do you mean free your mind and free your heart, love of the nation?
To keep myself at a safe guided direction so that I should make sure that I have to survive.
You don't need food. You just need a peaceful mind and a peaceful heart.
Yes. Now, it depends on the situation.
You know, you are kidnapped and then when you wake up, you are in the jungles of wherever.
I cannot just start making food.
You can't. But it's going to start raining. It's going to start raining now. And then the jungle is going to come. And the snakes are also loitering everywhere. And then there are also tigers and mosquitoes. So the first thing that you are going to do is going to be at peace with your heart and your mind.
You are right. You are right. When I free my heart, first, let me
see. And how are you going to free your heart? Please elaborate on that one. Because okay. I thought that your heart is already free and your mind is already free.
Let me free my mind first.
Okay. Free your mind.
I free my mind.
Yeah.
Then my mind will give me an assistance and direct me into the light manner so that I can able to find what is needed, that is food or water.
So you're first going to be sitting
there
down.
There is no way to find them if I didn't free my mind.
Okay, but also, the minute that you are put there, what makes you think that your mind is in captivity?
Alright. Good question. Any situations, you find yourself, it is come as a test, to test how you are. Now it will depend how is your mind will be going to take such a situation, such a condition. It depends on how your mind it will going to take such a situation or such a condition. How your mind will be going to understand such a situation or such a condition.
Okay, then how would your mind take it?
Take it.
Yeah.
Then my mind it will alert me so that I can able to find an alternative.
Okay.
When I find an alternative, it will direct me to where there is food, to where there is water, to where there is a safe way to move through the or out of the jungle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are you going to look for a way to come home? Or are you just gonna leave there?
If in the jungle there is an there is a comfortable situation.
What is comfortable situation for you? What would make you stay in the jungle?
It is there is some of the thing in life that is possible from impossible.
Okay.
Maybe it is the Holy Spirit which allows in such a people then so that they can kidnap me, take me into the jungle when I went in the jungle. I start to well examine how the creation is beautiful, how this place is supposed to be. Then I already start to develop an idea that if I come up with the idea of lodge, or if I come up with the idea of just a touring place.
So you are just thinking of making a business in other people.
Already, I start to free my mind. I start to free my mind already.
You are kidnapped, and then you are thinking about what if I just stay here and then I make a lodge here because it's very beautiful.
Any question, it is happened. It is happened to teach you, to strengthen you, and to remind you with something important. Unfortunately, unless you did not well examine in such a situation and realize with something.
Okay.
You are there. It is an opportunity. Use it. The metric, whatever it happened to me in this world.
Why?
The metric, whatever it happened to me in this world, it is just an opportunity. If it has happened to me, even you take a punch and you say to me, "Pwah," I will be patiently and teach you that people have to silent and let you do whatever you want to do.
So, love of the nation, what practical skills do you have? You as an individual right now, what practical skills do you have? Like, what skills do you have?
I cannot able to describe my snare.
You know my how to, you know how to make.
My real smell has to be explained by others.
I'm talking about skills. What skills do you have? Do you know how to net? Do you know how to tie ropes? Do you know how to kumbonduda? Do you know how to zika? Do you know how to fish? Do you know how to kongo mihuya? Yeah, those are skills. You know, not everybody can do it. So those are skills. Oshi okukongo mamburunganga. You know, skills. What skills do you have?
I only have the skill of proposing ladies.
Watch out, shishinai. Eh? Poropo meme mbono shishinai. You know, tindwanale.
Proposing ladies.
Why are you whispering? You must be proud.
Proposing ladies. I am very talented.
You say you are very talented there at proposing.
Yes.
Kucha, there's never a day that you said, Kucha, I want that one. And then that one said, me, I don't want you. You say that everybody, Kucha, it's a hook, blind and sinker. Kucha, if you throw the net in, you will come out with something no matter what. You're very skilled there. Where did you learn that skill, man?
Naturally.
You just got that sway. Yes. You just got that sway.
How can you be taught? Naturally, it is already a good teacher.
Oh, so you just said, Kucha, girls, akadono high-end wangi. The tatana wangi. The waza. One says N. Tuli men. One says Ben.
It's a joke.
It's the truth. We don't take jokes yet, pulling heartstrings. It's the truth. If we are looking for somebody that is an expert.
It's a joke. People, they need to laugh. Not people need to refresh their mind.
It's true.
Yes, people need to refresh their mind.
It's true. Thank you so much for that one.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Demetria.
You're most welcome. Good night.
And everlasting happiness.
Everlasting happiness to you also, but call me back at 11:30, okay?
Thank you. I will be back.
All right.
Okay.
Ciao, ciao.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to buzz us up, call us in. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio in case you would like to call us. And also, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to join us on our Facebook Live, we are live there on the Eagle FM page in case you would like to watch me and my reactions or whatever. You are more than welcome to join us on our live, and you are more than welcome to also just leave a comment. I see Matthew said that, Kucha, she's a Liverpool fan, that's why. Like, what? It's like, I'm not a Liverpool fan, right? Like, Liverpool is the team most. It's Liverpool and Arsenal. Those two teams are most for the seniors. They are for the seniors. All my uncles, they support those ones. All my grandfathers, they support those ones. Everybody that is almost an ancestor in my family, they support those two teams. Yeah. So I assumed that Arsenal and Liverpool is most for seniors. Mm-hmm. Then the other teams are like for the young people. Except now for the team that Cristiano signed to that side. Is it Qatar? Yeah. For the seniors. Like, yes. So the people on Facebook, they are commenting and they're asking for the usual energy. I told you guys, I'm a very serious person, you know? I'm a very serious person. And especially when we're talking about serious matters, like being self-sufficient, you know, self-sustainable, you know, we can sustain ourselves. Very serious. Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, in case you don't know what we're talking about, we are talking about being self-sufficient. So if you were ever thinking that I want to go off the grid and I don't know how to do it. Okay. So what is the first step? Going off the grid is basically disappearing. Cause adulting. I'm just giving us all the options. I'm putting all the options onto the table because this adulting thing, has us in a chokehold. And some of us are just thinking, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about going off the grid. I'm thinking about if I just maybe, just choose kucha andika karana ndoko kwa mimbi huya. You know, kwa mimbi nenge in the jungle somewhere. What would I need? Katoti. Peter says, hi, it's cold there today. And then somebody also, Aaron said it's cold there today, there on the Facebook Live. It's cold, you can see us. We are wearing our jackets for going outside. So we're talking about self-sufficient and we're talking about, how are we going to sustain ourselves? Now, when I give these conversations, right? These conversations are from a perspective of an open perspective. So the way you understand it is the way you explain it. So if you hear self-sufficient, then you can, like Love of the Nation, he chose to speak about it from an economical or country perspective that we cannot be self-sufficient if we can't produce. Like literally, he's saying production. If we can't make anything, if we can't produce anything, right? Then the likelihood for us to be self-sufficient as a country is a little rough. It's not even a little rough, it's rough. We might not make it. We are not going to survive. It's just no, you know? And he said that if we could maybe, you know, use the bartering system where we as Africans, you know, we can trade with others and, you know, Cuba gives us the knowledge for medication, the knowledge for what, and then as we give them hippopotamuses, for example, right? Then it could work. It could work. There's nothing in this world that is not for sale. So we just have to find out what they like. You know, so if the Cubans don't like hippopotamuses, we got other animals. We can give them a couple of lions. We can give them giraffes. We can give them elephants. You know, I can give them gold, which are diamonds. You know, we can ask. Okay, so what do you want from us? Like, you know, you've seen our country. You've seen what we got. So which is one of the things that you really want there in our country? And then maybe we can work on a thing here. Then we can just cut out and eliminate all these pharmaceutical companies. All these pharmaceutical companies. Somebody asked today, there was a post on somebody's thingy on Facebook there. And they said that eliminate one country in the whole entire world, and then the whole entire world would be at peace. I gave my answer because I feel like that country is just a troublesome country, and it's just making everybody's life. It's like they want to be the entire UN. It's like they want to be the whole entire EU. Like, it's just them. They are the ones that want to just, everywhere you go, they just want to be part of it, even in things that don't involve them. I just don't think Olufuku is democratically correct, you know, cause I believe that it's infringing on the human rights of young girls. Nobody's talking about you people's white weddings, that jumping brooms. Yeah, apparently it's cool. Like, oh my God, I just want to jump the broom. It's not your culture. It's not your culture, Kajekondoro. It's not your culture. All right? Okay, but anywho. So we have a list here of what to do in order for you to become self-sufficient or self-sustainable. The first one is learn, ladies and gentlemen, learn how to grow vegetables, whether you grow them in a pot, whether you grow them in the ground, whether you take one interlog out and decide that you're going to compost this little sand that's in the interlog and you're going to plant and then it's going to sprout somewhere there, but learn how to grow your own food. Apparently, it is the food
If we don't secure the food, right, we are doomed. The first thing we do is secure the bag, and the bag is the food. So that is number one. Grow your own food. Start small, even a small garden with herbs and vegetables, and that can be a good starting point. And then number two is learn how to compost. Now, we were talking about compost before our caller came in, and composting is basically you taking leftover food, leftover scraps of food, and then you put it in the ground. And what you do is you put it in, like, you can have a mere of sand, like half level sand, and then you throw the food inside there. Now you and your lazy self, you and your lazy self, you cannot just leave the food just chilling there on top so you start mixing it. You mix it into the ground, and that is basically how you are creating fertilizer, compost. So learn how to do that, and this also helps because that means your dustbin activities are not going to be as high, and your waste activities are not going to be as high, and then it will also help the climate, and the layers of it will help us also in the long run. It will help us if we're putting the things into the ground, so that it can help us plant our fruit, our food that we are going to eat. It would be better. So learn how to compost. And I also don't agree in, I don't think that it is a good idea to just throw all your waste foods, right, into one compost bucket, because some things, that one is a very long message that you're putting there, but I will read it. Okay. So some things are better for the soil than others. So if you want to maybe experiment, right? And this is for you that is planning on going, me, I was going to live in a mountain by myself, and I'm not going to talk to anybody for the next year. I'm going to have a Kundalini awakening. I'm going to align my chakras. Right? You can at least have like three buckets, where one bucket you put vegetables, like vegetable scraps, like your potato peels, your carrot peels, the bottom part of the spinach, and whatever you put it inside there. Then the second one can be things like pasta, rice, oshimbobo, you know, you put it inside there. And then the other one can be meat particles, you know, bone.
Love a bargain? Then get all your essential products for just 599 Namibian dollars only, and you save. 5 kilogram nice rice, 10 kilograms of Champion Super Maize meal, 10 kilogram bag of Marathon white sugar, 10 kilogram bag of Bokomo Fed cooked flour, 500 gram grande pasta, and pay just 599 Namibian dollars. Only up to Sunday, the 7th of July. You save, I save, yes, we all save at You Save.
Great news! Imper just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imper? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, hello. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings. Okay. So Matthew here has a very valid question. He says, what do you make of Namibia downgraded to a lower middle income? Is it good or bad? Does that mean that the country is not self-sufficient? I would say that, if we are the only country that has ever been, lowered down, then maybe, just maybe, I think that our problem is really honestly poverty. And I will come back to you tomorrow on the rest of that conversation. But for now, when I look at the question that you posed, I honestly just view it as the unemployment rate and the not having money in this country by the people that don't have money, right? When we continuously complain about not having money as a people on the ground, then I think that this is a representation of this. It comes out now. It is visible now that, yeah, guys, we are struggling. And that is what I see. I see poverty. That's what I see. But I would also think that Namibia has never been self-sufficient. It has always been a dependent country. There's nothing that we can say that we truly manufacture and we are truly, investing in it to make sure that we grow in any aspect. So, when I talk about self-sufficient, I'm really not putting Namibia at the forefront. I'm not putting Namibia anywhere near this conversation. I'm just putting us, just us. Maybe we can be self-sufficient by ourselves, because clearly Namibia, I don't know. I don't know what's happening there with Namibia, because we are a small population and we have so many minerals and resources and we have so much land, but even most of our country is not even, it's not even populated yet. And most of the places, most of the land that is there that is vast, right, is not owned by us. So it is a saddening conversation. So Peter says that you can also use ash from the fire. It's also good to be used as, compost manure, decomposed manure. Yes. So these are the things that I'm saying, Kucha. So if we are learning, Kucha, how are we going to be self-sufficient? We are running away most from Namibia. We will be in Namibia, but we are running away from the politics and we are running away from the mainstream life, and we are just going off the grid, right? It's nice to have a little bit of input. So me, I spoke about the food and making compost, right? Apparently, Peter says that apparently ash is also good for manure. But is that why, and please do answer, is that why we used to throw on tokometa in the village? Is that why? Because if it was waste, right, then wouldn't it be better for us to go and throw on toko nando koshike nande oko kwikiramboshi yagaya? But with us, we used to throw it metsa. So is that why? Because it's also considered as compost or manure. You can answer, Peter. And those are the people that I'm talking to, ladies and gentlemen, in case you are wondering, Kucha, Mara, this Peter, that she's talking to, and this Matthew that she's talking to, but they are not on the mic. They are on Facebook. We are interacting. I told you guys I'm going to become so good at this thing, this multitasking thing between radio and TV. I'm just going to be gravitating between radio and TV. But we're talking about being self-sufficient, and we're talking about how are we going to become self-sufficient. Now, we were at learn how to make compost, and number three is consider keeping chicken. Consider keeping chicken, because apparently chicken is a good thing. So chickens provide eggs and can help control pests. Yeah, that's why people keep chicken, because I always thought that we keep chicken as oshere. I used to think that, because here in the city, we eat so much chicken, like the Braai Park, we eat so much chicken. I used to think that people keep chicken for this particular activity. But then it never dawned on me that even in the village, ne, kunakure kahui, my dear, a whole month can go by. So why are we keeping chicken then? Aha. So that's where I started thinking, Kucha. Maybe, just maybe, right? The chicken is not there for us to consume. It's consumable on the day that it's consumable, when the owners or when the adults of the household decide that today I feel like eating chicken, the chicken can die, right? But apart from that, apparently it keeps away pests. And for me, this made sense. made sense. All right. So consider keeping chicken so that it can keep away the pests around you. If you're going to be, you know, in Mother Nature, if you're going to retire and go and make your farm there in the jungles or in the mountains somewhere. This is your step to becoming self-sufficient as a person. Yeah. Which I'm, this is what I'm going to do. There are some people that are here that actually do keep chicken. And they do keep chickens and they do all these things in their backyards. So I do know that it is absolutely possible. And also, if you would like, you can go on to, I think it's YouTube where they are a series of YouTubers, right? That basically just do this. They are planting small gardens and they are keeping chickens and they are trying to become a self-sufficient, self-sustainable. Self-sufficient is when you are enough for yourself. Self-sustainable. Uh-huh. So, okay. Canning, drying, or freezing your harvest ensures you have food throughout the year. So learn how to preserve your food. Oh yeah, Peter is asking for me to repeat myself. The question was, all right, was when we were younger, when we were younger in the village, right? We used to cook on the fire. We used to sit around the fire, but then the ash accumulates, right? When the ash accumulates, we put it on an iron sheet. If it's still hot or if it's still somewhat a little bit hot, it might have a few blocks of hot coal or something, right? And, or if it's completely cold, we used to put it on a metal sheet and then we carry it out into the field. And this field is the same place where we also, plant our mahangu and we plant our sugarcane and so forth. It's where we plant our food, our beans and everything. Is that why? The question is that why we used to actually put the ash there? Because ash was considered to be compost. Yeah. Because it's the first time that I'm seeing, that I'm hearing about the ash. And for me, my mind works like this. So when you said that, it took me back to childhood where, where we didn't throw the ash into, the waste pit. Like where we throw children's diapers and where we throw plastic things, you know, the ash was always thrown in the field, metsa. So is that why? Because it's actually considered as compost also. That was what I was asking somewhere, somehow. Yeah. I hope you get it. Okay. Cool. Moving on. All right. So learn how to preserve your food. So, you know, when I look at tomatoes, right, I wonder why we don't have soups that are produced by our people and sold in shops. I don't understand because we have so many tomatoes and tomatoes go bad. But what do we do before they go bad? Is that not the part where we dry them up? Because I know that, the village where I'm from, Kunakure Kahui, we have these little cherry tomatoes that grow all over the house in certain seasons because, when we are done picking the tomatoes, right, we squeeze out some of the tomatoes so that after the next rainfall, they will come back again. And then our house constantly has tomatoes. Now with these tomatoes, we don't have electricity. So we preserve them by drying them. And then after we dry them, we pound them, right? We grind them and then they become soup. So we put them like in jars or in bakis. But now I have not seen a tomato soup produced in Namibia and I don't understand why. Is it because we like other people's products or we don't trust our own products? Is this a practice that you guys also practice at your houses? Because I know tomatoes, ne? Tomatoes are a thing in every single household. Whether you are from the south or from the west, from the east, everybody, except now the Walvis Bayers. I don't know about you guys. Like, I know that you guys are, fish people, but everybody else, we have a tomato thing. So tomatoes usually come in abundance in many places. So what do you guys do with the tomatoes? And you entrepreneur out there, please create a soup. Make a tomato soup made in Namibia. Make yours more because you, your tomatoes are in abundance. And there's nothing that you are going to do with your tomatoes that can most probably preserve it until kingdom comes so that we can still buy them 2 weeks from the time that you pick them. There's nothing. So you might as well just create something. Might as well just create something that we can buy from the market. It's the same as the cabbage, guys. Did you guys know that you guys can dry cabbage? Did you know? Did you guys know that you guys can dry spinach? I think that when I go off the grid, I'm going to be amazing at it. I'm going to be great at it because I think my whole life has been preparation. It has been preparation for going off the grid because there's so much I know about preserving and harvesting and, you know, I don't know about canning because I feel like that's a rich people thing. Yeah, because where am I going to find the glass? Where am I going to find the cotton with the alcohol? Where am I going to can things and then the vinegar? I don't know. This canning thing is, I don't know. Right? But drying. Thereby the drying and thereby the burying things. Eh? Like me. I'm an expert. And that is why we can say that, some things like onjengo doesn't just go bad like that. Yeah. And then also, if you want it, right? If you honestly really want it, and if you guys were not a gang of alcoholics in your house, you could drink omahongo all year round if you want it. If somebody really just, dedicated themselves to drinking omahongo per seasonally and occasionally like wine, it could be done because omahongo, once it's buried, right? You put it in a container and then you bury it underground. It doesn't go bad. It doesn't go bad. You can keep it there for a year. It doesn't go bad. If I'm lying, you must come. But me, that this is what I've seen and this is what I was taught. If I'm lying, you can come through and then we can have a little conversation about it. You can tell me your what and your what. But this is what I know about omahongo. Omahongo, the minute it's buried, right? You can just cover it up and you can shasha. And that's it. It's only that, when the other barrel finishes, we go and collect the other one. And then we go and collect the other one and the other one and the other one until all the omahongo is finished. Yeah. I think that's the only reason that we don't keep omahongo longer than its season because we are constantly drinking it and it's the only thing that we are drinking. Omarunga is a bit rare in places like Ondonga. So I'm not even really familiar with it. I think that even if I see it like this, I'll not really know what it is. So, yo, we have a few messages. We have a few messages here from Peter on our Facebook. He's saying, okay, I get you. I may think that that's the reason because when I was growing up, we used to use ash to put in a cup of water and it will be used as soda to cook delele. Soda to cook delele. Hey, where are you from? Congo? Who else uses delele? It's Congo. It's Zambia. Yeah. Okay. Okay, but coming to use it as manure, I learned this from my Chinese friend. Okay, great. And coming to drying, you can dry mangoes, yeah, and use it as soup mix with beans and samp. Guys, I don't understand why we are struggling in our houses. Katima! Yeah, but Katima is most next to, it's next to Zambia. You guys have the same kind of food, but thank you, Peter. You have been great here. this is true interaction. I love it. Okay. So, okay. I hear what you're saying, and this is nice. Okay. But you guys have a lot of mangoes, and that is part of our problem here in Namibia, is that, Katima Mulilo has an abundance of food, an abundance of fruits, right? And especially like mangoes. But then apparently, right, we can't move it to anywhere else. We can't move it to anywhere else in Namibia. But imagine this, right? You, Peter, imagine you come up with the mango soup. Why are you guys not coming up with these things? Why are you guys not experimenting and seeing if it can go somewhere? Because we are all complaining about capital. We're all complaining about money. We're all complaining. You heard that Namibia is a gang of poor people, right? You heard from Matthew. Matthew told us that we are poor. but yet we have so many things that we can use, because right now we are going to Food Lovers to go and buy dry mangoes. Like for real. We're going to Food Lovers to go and buy dry mangoes. There are 4 inside or 5 inside, and the packet is $56. But if you guys, if you guys just decided to stop wanting, and the thing is that we can always fight the system. They don't want us to have the mangoes fresh, right? Because apparently what disease, what? But did they say anything about dry? Did they say anything about dry? Did they say anything about powder? Did they say anything about powder mangoes or powder mango powder? Did they say anything? They didn't say anything, maybe. So maybe that's something that you should look at, because there by the tomatoes, I wish I had all the time in the world, right? To really just go and invent the things that I want to invent, because what are we waiting for? And also, you guys must eat samp, ne? I don't understand why you guys are just, you guys keep following the pap, the rice, the macaroni, but the samp, omapungu. You guys can find it in all the shops. Omapungu, it's called samp. You guys can find it, and you guys can make beautiful recipes. I will upload a picture of the recipes that I cook with samp, ne? I'll upload in case you guys are struggling with trying to, because we are all trying to survive out here, but most of you guys are surviving with the most expensive stuff. You guys are surviving with the most expensive food, and I don't know, man. Okay. So that's what you should do. So the first thing you should do in your journey of becoming self-sufficient, right, is grow your own food. 1, make compost. 2, start a little garden and keep it running. Plus also keep chicken. 3, and then also learn how to preserve food. Learn how to dry them. Learn how to bury them. Learn how to can them. Learn how to preserve food. I watched a video of a girl that went to the ocean, took a 2-liter, and then came back home and boiled that 2-liter water from the ocean, right? And then she came up with a thing like this much. This is like how many grams of, she made her own salt. While we are spending $10, I know it's inexpensive, right? Because when we buy salt, we usually buy the big salt, and the big salt lasts for such a long time. But even that expense can be eliminated, because I mean, it's absolutely free in the ocean if you have patience and passion to explore. So moving on to our second division of becoming a survivalist, becoming a self-sufficient person. The second one is develop practical skills, okay? Learn to cook from scratch. Not these things of you are buying, the dough is already mixed and the cheese is already grated and the salami is already sliced, and all you gotta do is put it on top of each other and throw it into the oven. How do you guys eat bland food like that? Learn to cook from scratch. From scratch, guys, from scratch. Not pre-made. Not this macaroni and cheese that you just take out of the box and throw it into the oven or throw it into the microwave, or these noodles that you just put in a bit of water and then because it's already cooked or whatever, learn how to make your pasta yourself. I think that we are bored enough. Okay. We are bored enough for us to learn how to do new things and become excited about these new things that we are doing. We are bored enough. Like, what is there to do? We can't really go clubbing because we're not that young. We can't go buying because we are also not that young. We can't really risk ourselves being out there because vele, our life insurance will not pay if you, you got stabbed in Evelyn Street. Our cars are not insured like that. So why not? Why not learn new skills? What do you have to lose? You are drowning in depression. You are drowning in stress and anxiety. Take yourself out of that setting and go and stand in the kitchen, eh? And decide that, you know what? We're going to do pasta. We're going to make pasta today. Okay, so how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? Maybe I want green pasta. Then you blend your spinach. And if you're going to flop, flop. But the internet is there, guys. The internet is fully there, right? And you can just learn. Hey, so you get two eggs and then you only use the yellow parts. Then you get flour. You don't need a furika. You don't need baking soda or, you know, you don't need baking powder, nothing. Just flour and eggs. And then you start mixing. You can pour in a little bit of water. Mutete, okay. You can put in a little bit of water and then you knead it. And also that working with your hands, right, is therapeutic. It's therapeutic for all that stress that you are carrying. It's all therapeutic for all that anxiety that you are having. And I don't understand why you have absolutely nothing to lose by learning something new and you don't do it. And it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. Make your pasta, my friend. Learn how to make lasagna. Yeah? That's why most of these people that move into their places alone, they become so good at cooking and they become so good at cleaning because this is their space. And they like being in their spaces. That's why. So learn. So learn how to cook from scratch so that you don't get a fish and you have no idea what to do with it. And then when you go and eat it, it's full of guts. It's full of bones. It's full of scales. Because you don't even know that a fish, you have to gut it. You gotta gut it. And then you have to clean off if it has scales. And also with some fish like the catfish, guys. Eh? Delicious. Eh, but you have to cut it in such a way that you open it and then you let it air dry. You let it air dry for just a little bit. Just let it, you think we can be poor. I like small smoke of fresh air. Let it just come in a little bit and then elumelinika. Eh? If you're going to put it in the water, then elumelinika and then you put in a little bit of garlic and then you put in a dash, just a dash of a little bit of vinegar like that and then you just let that simmer and then you can start now your recipe things. Because also with a catfish, there's a lot of, there's that strong element, that efunja element is inside there. It's a very strong fish. So, good evening.
Queen Mother.
Yes, darlingy. My dear.
It's your energy.
It's the energy here. Apparently, I'm not having a lot of energy. I'm the cake on the table, you know, but I'm not having the cake on the table energy, apparently.
Says who?
Says the people from Liverpool. The internet.
From Liverpool. Like, I support Liverpool. Why would they say that?
They said I'm a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, so am I. So are we.
So we're Liverpool? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was dissing it earlier. And I, Liverpool and Arsenal is for old people.
Are you old?
Yes.
No. I think that's some...
It is, Utare. Oh.
What about us now, the youngster?
Ah.
Liverpool. And he already has a t-shirt. He already has a Liverpool t-shirt. So,
yeah.
So I might as well. You know? Mm-hmm.
I know.
Like, so what are you saying? How's your day?
It was good. Shima shimini, oh, okana koyata kadawa mungula. Menu lake. She's turning 14 tomorrow.
My God.
I know. They returned from the coast and then I send them back to the other aunt. Like, I send them back with a friend.
To the mother.
Punishment.
Eh.
Kucha, no, at least they must tell me how was their holiday.
Eh.
They must write me an essay.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. If you're going to be getting trips from me, you must come back and write me essays because me, I also want to go and reread how well I did as a parent. How, not just this thank you of the mouth.
No,
when you
like,
were 14.
A friend is telling me, Kucha, uncle, I felt small standing by the ocean.
Because the ocean is so big.
No, like, apparently the stewardess told them, Kucha, as far as you go up in the sky,
the depth of the ocean
is less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As far as you go up in the sky, land is less, water is more.
So basically, the stewardess was saying that 70% of the earth is covered by water.
Yeah, something like that.
But said it in a more poetic way.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Okay, now, as a compensation for me giving you an opt-in and escape route for you for the holidays,
mm-hmm.
write me an essay. Pick a topic, make it rich, historically rich, and then impress me, like, from the both of you, like, at least 200 words.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
200 words are like half a page.
Yeah, like, I want them to give me the experience.
They must give you 2 pages. Two pages, like, it talk about everything. Oh.
There were no limits, like, they must just give me.
An essay.
Yeah, I have to pick up the others, by the farm on Saturday. I'll come back Sunday, and then she's coming back Sunday as well.
Aww.
Yeah, I should get to my essay by the time they go back to school.
But you're proud of yourself, right?
Ask me tomorrow.
Ha! You like, even the way you are smiling, it's like, I did a good job. But I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I think you're an exceptional parent. Like, you're phenomenal.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You're a phenomenal person. We're talking about self-sufficiency today.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was just listening.
So why are you contributing?
My contribution is mostly on a parenting scale.
Mm-hmm.
At the level where we are right now, especially if you are 27 up, or you are 21 and then you have a little one.
Yeah.
That's not your life anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, like you live for the little one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Shashi, every decision you make, every step you take, you have to think about them.
Mm.
Your worth is built around them,
the little ones,
be it ones or many, especially with us who have like a ton of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A gang of babies.
Yeah.
Mm, me and my squad.
The squad. People are afraid to walk into our life knowing that we have little ones out there.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that people are afraid to get into relationships with people that have children?
The emotional baggage that comes with being with them.
What is the emotional baggage that comes with being them?
Because they know, for certain tikucha, there will never be a position one.
But do you need to be at position one?
It's perceptions and perspectives.
Mm.
Yeah, like, they know, kucha, if there's some certain things need to be done.
Yeah.
And then you need my help. Obviously, I'll pick the kids over you. If, no, like if there's a parent conference or anything.
Yeah.
And then we have a date.
Yeah.
I would cancel on your date.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think that's number one for.
Mm-hmm.
Other thing is just that they think that the paternal parents on the other side have a way in as well, and then they have to deal with them.
But isn't that because of the bad behavior that people have displayed over the years that brought the misconception that people still sleep with people that they have children with?
Yeah, but in most cases it's not really that. Like we grew out of it.
Mm.
Yeah, like they have other people, I have other people, or mm-hmm. not. The only communication we have is only based on the kids or the children.
Mm.
Yeah.
Other than that,
yeah, co-parenting. That's it. And then they think that them being in your life, they have a strong foothold because of the child.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really that.
But I also think that people just do bad things, and then later on, innocent people that don't do the things that they do are now also part of the war because they do it. Because when people say things like, "Daripa muya de sokura sasana nengo kulala sana waje," like, "Anana, bruh. No. No. Nobody's sleeping with exes, guys." No.
Not anymore.
Yeah. But then you find some people that really honestly just believe in that type of statement or that proverb or whatever. And they don't even know why they are sleeping with the person anymore. They just say that, "Oh no, but taripa mwe," like, but why are you doing it? You know, and then they just make it all bad for everybody else, and then then you have to, you that's innocent, you have to come and work 10 times harder to prove to this person that doesn't have a child that you are not like that. And nobody has the energy to come and prove anything. But I think that when it comes to people being afraid to come into one's life because you have children, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that it is not really their own fears that cloud their judgment. I think it is the way we treat these people that come into our lives. We treat them like a second option from the beginning, but they shouldn't actually be a second option. Everybody must just come first in their own league. They are not in competition with the children, and the children are not in competition with them. Because also, if the parents' meeting was last minute and I set my date first, a month in advance, right? Does that mean because they are your children, you will never ever consider the effort and the time that I also invested in this particular event? As if you can't go back to the school and tell them, because the thing is that we always forget that people see us, right? So I have watched you Tell the teacher, oh, I cannot come to today's parents' meeting because I'm very busy today. But today's... yeah? I've watched... I think people that we spend time with forget that we spend time with them. Because me, I've honestly seen somebody, right, that is texting and driving, answering calls and driving, having serious conversations, life and death conversations and driving. And then I've watched that same person tell me, I can't talk right now, I'm driving. Ha! Since when? You! You! Eh? The chief of text and drive. The chief of call and drive. You can't do it. So I think that, if we are going to be accommodating people in our lives, right? I think that we should be, we are so scared to disappoint the children. And we are so scared for the children to be, to feel some type of way. But in all honesty, the children don't feel any type of way. We feel a type of way. And we drag innocent people through the mud. I don't understand, right? Why you are choosing the parents' meeting over my date. Because I made my date a month in advance. This teacher called you today and told you that the teacher's meeting is at 5 o'clock. You knock off at 5:30. So why are you choosing to prioritize this day where you can also just go to the school tomorrow when you're dropping the kids, right? You walk into the class and then you say, please, fill me in on everything that happened in the meeting because you guys also called it last minute. I've seen you argue. I've seen you argue at that school. Which I had no. You people cannot. I've seen you argue with injustices, but all of a sudden, apparently. No, my kids come first. How? I think we must just be realistic. I think we must not put so much pressure on it. The children are not in competition with your lover. And your lover is not in competition with your children. You guys, everybody is just having their number one space.
My daughter is 14. Mm-hmm. 14.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was a day I introduced them to somebody I'm intimate with. All of them. Never. It's just the fear that...
You also don't want your daughter growing up thinking, that you are a harlot. What she thinks of you is important. You don't want to be known as a gigolo in your house.
No, like, you know.
Self-respect lives there by my father.
You know what really surprised me?
Yeah.
Like a day before yesterday.
Mm.
She was disinfecting the kitchen countertop.
Yeah.
And then she was singing words to word by this song by, Black Eyed Peas.
Which one?
Where is the love?
Where is the love? People killing, people dying, children hurting, women crying. When you answer, what to say? Put it down the other cheek. Father, father, can you? Hey, you are like, turn this person in the bed, sir.
I was like, I used to love that song 20 years ago.
We are at the stage where we say things like that. Oh, I used to love that song 20 years ago.
Yeah, Shashi, the primary focus, raising them, it's, they are around, they are surrounded by music. Like, mm-hmm. I printed lyrics, Joe Thomas and Shaggy. Ghetto Child.
Yeah. I'm a ghetto child.
And then we sing together. Like, everybody.
Hi, your house is a club, my friend.
Yes,
it's a party there at your house.
They should, like...
I hope you live long. Huh?
Music. You know, when you surround your kids with music, there's love. There's always love because they sing along. Like, yeah. I put on a song, and then everybody has their paper there. And then we sing along to the song. And then they will be like, yeah, let's sing along.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing about it. Kucha, no, today we sing, tomorrow we play video games, and then, this day we go out or we cook in.
Yeah.
We don't like, this is your week to choose if we are going to eat somewhere or we are going to cook.
And then when we're cooking, we cook for real. We also have, Peter here on the internet. He's saying, Kucha, yeah, that's disrespectful. Or that's disrespecting yourself, really, because why did you leave the person if you still want to be sleeping with the person? He was, commenting on our conversation there around, the Zaripamuya, the Sokurara Sasana, that theory. Now everybody,
that's true.
Yeah, because now everybody just thinks this of you, and you are not like this. And now the person comes into the relationship shaky, kucha. Hey, where's the mother of the child? You're like, there's no one. Like, you're like, I didn't even give this person no doubt.
Like, Elizabeth, I have a child with you.
Yeah.
Your person that you are currently having a relationship, must trust that you coming to pick up your child by me.
Yeah, you're not coming to get a quickie and the baby.
No. You're
only picking the child up. How? it's hectic. But what skills do you, so when we're talking about being self-sufficient, you wanted to take it from the parental perspective, right? What self-sufficient tactics or ways are you teaching your children right now so that for the day that you are not there or for when they are caught in a situation, they can always do this? Like, what skills are you teaching your children right now? Because I know that you guys as a family, right? You guys also practice, being a team and having teamwork. And I also know that the death conversation has happened in your household because I'm so involved and I'm invested in your life, right? The death conversation has happened in your household. So to some degree, everybody is prepared for days of departure, even if it is a sad thing to think about. It's something that it's pointed out, it's put onto the table that this might happen. And in the event that I leave first before you guys, right? Then you guys must take care of one another. You guys are a team. Teamwork makes the dream work. I understand. And that is, I think that in itself also is a self-sufficient, mindset that you're instilling in the children, kucha. My dad is not going to live forever. And you're a single dad, of which, like, it is a rare thing to see in this country. And I keep telling people that people like you do exist. And it's nice that they can see and they can hear you now. So kudos to you. So. So basically, that one in itself, right? I think that is a good foundation. That, like, in making our children self-sufficient, we must teach them that we are not going to be here forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with my oldest.
Yeah.
Her bank card is always with her.
Your child has an ATM card. Okay, cool. We are writing notes because we also want to get to that level. How?
Yeah,
so children have ATMs. Okay, cool.
She is told, Kucha, in you should the amount of money you should keep on you should be always $200.
Okay.
Whatever you
in
have
cash.
To do, you have, yeah. Whatever you have
Why?
To do other than that, like you go to the ATM and it's full.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get a cab, but you don't have to go to the ATM.
Mm-hmm, because you always have the 200.
Yes.
Okay.
Just in case I'm unable to pick you up from school,
mm-hmm.
you have the 200.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you get sick, you can go to the hospital.
Yes.
Because me, my mother always told me, you must have 200 so that you can go to the... Nando we hamara mokatikusiku, nando wa hombokero. Yeah.
Some other things, it's like, if you have to do anything, other things, make sure that you swipe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Everything else that's financial is not about you withdrawing money. It is more about swiping.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
At the age, it's not always advisable to carry a large amount of money.
Or also, right? Another thing that you can introduce in your banking conversations with your children is that with swiping, we have a paper trail of how you spend money. And this is how you become financially literate, because you can ask for your statement every month and you can see where you're wasting money and where you should be saving money or how you are spending your money. And if you pick up on this culture, then you would always be, money aware and money conscious as you age. So I think that one can be something that you guys introduce, and you get the bank statement, and then you let her see which are where is she wasting money and ways which one is unnecessary, which one is necessary, and all of that. Then she can choose how to budget better,
because her toiletries shouldn't be bought cash.
Yeah,
like your toiletries must come out of the cart.
Yes, because we can't determine how much the toiletries are going to be.
Mm.
Yeah.
So like them two with her and her friends, like her friend's mother, she's a friend of mine too. And then she was like, I want to be a doctor. And then her mother was like laughing her lungs out.
Because they are the doctors of tomorrow.
So now I'm like, I want you two to be friends, like the way we are. Like, you must continue, like, whenever you fight, if you have a fight or misunderstanding, make sure that you apologize to each other. And I told her, Kuchano, listen, there is nobody important than your siblings. First, you put God first place, and then
siblings second.
Yeah. I'm out of the equation. I won't be here tomorrow. So when you want help, you call this number. When I'm not here, call this number. When things go south, you call this number. It's people that are dealing with your place, because our place has flats at the back. So like the flat has to generate income at times when I'm not there. Yeah, so you must go there. So their aunt must stay with them if I'm not there, and then her finances, her compensation, monthly compensation, it's already guaranteed. She should be there for a year. It's already calculated. Like,
sure.
When I'm not there, I grew up knowing that we are not here for the longest. I could go to South Africa, and then by the time I won't be able to come back. Plane crash or anything happened, and then somebody has to carry on. And then my kids will be left out. Like, so the lawyers, everything is in place. Like, it's in a pipeline, Kucha. So if this happens, this must go according to my way.
I'm disappointed in contemporary parents and the parents before us, right? I'm disappointed in the way they handle their afterlife wishes.
Yeah.
I'm like disappointed in it because I don't understand why we, children of advocates, right? Having a whole lawyer dad, right? Are still sitting with a battle of inheritance when you were writing people's wills. Like, what? Why? Like, your profession, is writing people's wills. And then you don't think that you're ever going to die. Do you know how many people are sitting with inheritance issues right now, but their parents had degrees, their parents were learned people, but they just didn't put those things in place?
I know.
I think that it is such an unfair thing to be sitting in a situation like that as children or the next of kin, because we should know better, because we all know we are going to die. How? This is like every single day that you wake up, I know you got gratitude, but you're closer to your grave. Every single day you wake up, you're closer to your grave. And if the more we stop thinking of the conversation around death as a taboo and more of a preparation, then I think that our children are going to be okay. Our children are not going to turn out to be prostitutes and drug addicts and alcoholics. Our children are not going to be gambling addicts. Our children are not going to be bad. Our children are going to go on and live their lives and understand that once upon a time they had a parent. But if we don't even talk about death in our households, right? Then, do you know that there are children out there that think that their parents don't love them? Like literally, like, oh, my parents don't love me. Why? Because the parents never show emotion. And some parents don't want to talk about death because it's very emotional, right? So, don't you think that the child will look at you and say, Kucha, no man, but this person loves me. That's why even when they talk about them dying and leaving me here, they care about me.
I'm of the opinion that where I teach my kids about preparation, I told them like, do not find like when you pray for preparation.
Yeah. Let me be prepared.
Because I don't want you to find yourself in a position where greatness. Yeah. When greatness locates you and then finds you unprepared. That's like be it loss or gain or anything of that sort. Be prepared for anything, whatever comes. Come hell or high water, you are prepared. Yeah. So when greatness locates you, it must find you prepared.
Yeah.
I died today. It's okay. I lived life to the fullest, and I loved you to the certain extent where I knew was right. Like, okay, so you should continue love your siblings the way I loved you.
Yeah.
And then continue from there. You should accept acceptance of what was and what will continue tomorrow when I'm not there.
And then I live on in your DNA. You always have a piece of me within you.
I'll be there like every step of the way, knowing that I loved you.
If our parents spoke about death the way me and you we speak about this death, ne?
They don't.
I would have never been depressed when the men died. The man died and then I was very depressed. I spent first I was angry for like 6 months. And then I went into a year of depression because the man died. Because I was not ready. But then, fortunately, you know, we have these death conversations and I realize that I'm somebody's parent. Must be more prepared. Such is life. So you're saying that if we're wrapping it up, you're saying that, okay, the ways in parenting when you talk about being self-sufficient as a child that is being parented by you is by understanding the concept of death and understanding the concept of finances and also understanding the importance of family siblings.
Yes.
And also being the best you can be. And remembering that once upon a time you had a father that would have moved a mountain for you. Had you asked.
Uh-huh.
If it's something that you needed. We'll go and steal kidneys. If you need. Betrayak, where are you? Like, we need to go to the lady Puamba to go and steal a kidney. My children. Ah, I'm coming. Must we wear all black? What am I going to wear? Must I wear a bola? I'll ask. We're going. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is. But I'm proud of you.
Thank you very, 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 very much. No, it's because of you that I'm who I am today.
I am glad I was of assistance to some degree, but the greatness lives within.
People walk into our life without knowing the greatest impact they will bring.
Mm.
We just have to seize the day.
It's you and the metaphors. I love you for it. Thank you so much.
Worry nothing of it.
Worry nothing of it. English. We're doing the most. We'll continue our conversation tomorrow. So I'll see you again tomorrow.
Same time, same place.
Same time, same place. Forever and a day. I love you times God's mother.
You are appreciated.
My dear. Because nobody can beat the one that raised the one that birthed the greatness.
Whew! I know.
Like, whoo! Hey! Big guns.
Womana thinks eight p longa e shimbolalata.
Eh.
Papumba kulongu no mamanga pe.
Kuele. Like, I wish I could, I wish I knew that we can make leather. Like, just dry the thing in the oven. Say this internet is teaching us.
Yeah.
Ewan Enkero, thank you so much.
Bye.
Say hi to Photosynthesis.
Yeah. I will.
Okay.
Bye.
Ciao.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we might continue with our conversation tomorrow on self-sufficiency because we didn't go through our whole checklist, am I? But thank you so much for you guys that have been a sport there on the Facebook. You guys have been absolutely great. I love it for us. Let us keep the energy up. Let us keep our conversations up. Love it, love it, love it. And ladies and gentlemen, the aim and objective of our conversations here is to address the elephant in the room. It is to talk about everything and anything under the sun. It is really honestly for us to have a space where we can unwind and have a space where we are understood, we are loved, we are appreciated. I'm a big advocate on love. I believe that if I can love you, I'm like one of those people that believe that if I can love you, you're gonna be okay. If I'm just showering you with love and happiness and kindness and gratitude, then we are going to be okay. I understand that the world is going through what it's going through. I understand that you're going through what you're going through. I am too. I understand that it's not the most perfect time to be out here, right? I understand that. And also adulting, right? Because we are adulting. Like, they're spontaneous responsibilities that pop up in our lives. There are spontaneous people that pop up in our lives. Spontaneous situations that pop up in our lives that weren't an obstacle yesterday, but they are today, right? I understand that. But I'm saying that if you can just wake up every day and get here. Just wake up every day and get here to pulling heartstrings, ne? I will do the rest. I will entertain you. I will inform you. I will love you. I will give you the high five that you need. Nobody told you that they love you today. I'll tell you that I love you. I love you. You are important to me. You are an asset. You are one of a kind. You are special. Very. Like, imagine there's only one of you. Even if you are a twin, there's like, only one of you in the whole entire world. So you must be amazing. You are amazing.
we will get through everything together, my dear. Like we've been getting through things for the past 4 years. I've gone through a lot here in this chair. I've gone through a lot. I've cried. I've been angry. I've been happy. I've been everything. But what I didn't do is not show up. I show up not because of anything else except the love that I'm giving and the love that I'm receiving here. So my cup runneth over. My head is anointed and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow I all the days of my life. Envy no man, no history with no evil plan. Oh, oh, oh. Come on, Rasta children. Oh, 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 yeah. Go and listen. Go and look for it. Eh? Come on, Rasta children. Oh, 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 my head is anointed and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow I all the days of my life. Ewane ahoreke, I bid you guys farewell. I love you guys forever and a day. I will see you again tomorrow at 9 p.m. here on Eagle FM. You can also holla at your girl. What's up? All right. Shabne. Bye.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tero ulikoni maondo doto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoiri nawa Ninge fata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile ko berewa, nora etatu natu, bali o etatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear.